Hello, this is the listening exam. I am going to give you the instructions for the test. There are three parts to the listening exam. At the beginning of each part, you will hear this sound. You may write down your answers at any point during the listening exam. Part 1. In Part 1, you will hear two news items. You will hear the news items twice. Before listening to each news item, you will have 20 seconds to read the tasks. You now have 20 seconds to read the tasks for news item 1. You are now going to hear the first news item for the first time. After a short break, you will hear the news item again. News item 1. April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day is celebrated on April the 1st in many countries around the world. On this day, people play practical jokes on each other and have fun trying to make people believe things that are not true. For example, in 1957, a programme on British national television reported on how spaghetti grew on trees. The film showed a family in Switzerland collecting spaghetti from trees, and many people believed this, as British people did not eat much pasta in the 1950s and did not know how it was made. Another trick carried out on British television was Smell-O-Vision in 1965. The BBC claimed it was possible to transmit smells through the television to all viewers. In the days after this announcement, many people contacted the BBC to say how pleased they were with this new service. On April Fool's Day in 1998, the American hamburger chain Burger King announced they had created a left-handed burger. The advertisement for the new product explained that all the ingredients had been turned 180 degrees so that it was easier for left-handed people to pick up. The following day, Burger King admitted that this had been a joke, but thousands of people had gone to restaurants across the USA asking for a left-handed burger. In 2016, the Nature magazine National Geographic announced that it would no longer publish photographs of naked animals. The article stated that it was embarrassing for the animals not to wear clothes. Interested online readers who clicked through to the story were greeted with April Fools and photos of cute puppies and kittens dressed in clothes. So the next time you read or see something that does not quite seem right, just think about what day it is. It may well be an April Fool's joke. April Fool's Day is celebrated on April the 1st in many countries around the world. On this day, people play practical jokes on each other and have fun trying to make people believe things that are not true. For example, in 1957, a programme on British national television reported on how spaghetti grew on trees. The film showed a family in Switzerland collecting spaghetti from trees, and many people believed this, as British people did not eat much pasta in the 1950s and did not know how it was made. Another trick carried out on British television was Smell-O-Vision in 1965. The BBC claimed it was possible to transmit smells through the television to all viewers. In the days after this announcement, many people contacted the BBC to say how pleased they were with this new service. On April Fool's Day in 1998, the American hamburger chain Burger King announced they had created a left-handed burger. The advertisement for the new product explained that all the ingredients had been turned 180 degrees so that it was easier for left-handed people to pick up. The following day, Burger King admitted that this had been a joke, but thousands of people had gone to restaurants across the USA asking for a left-handed burger. In 2016, the Nature magazine, National Geographic, announced that it would no longer publish photographs of naked animals. The article stated that it was embarrassing for the animals not to wear clothes. Interested online readers who clicked through to the story were greeted with April Fools and photos of cute puppies and kittens dressed in clothes. So the next time you read or see something that does not quite seem right, just think about what day it is. It may well be an April Fool's joke.
You now have 20 seconds to read the tasks for news item 2. You are now going to hear the second news item for the first time. After a short break, you will hear news item 2 again. News item 2, a surprising discovery.
A pair of men's work pants that could be the world's oldest pair of jeans have been sold in an auction for $114,000. The white pants were found in a suitcase in a shipwreck off the coast of North Carolina in the USA. The work pants have buttons instead of a zip and probably belonged to a gold miner. They were part of a sale that took place in Reno, Nevada, in the west of the USA. The gold miner was traveling on the SS Central America, also known as the Ship of Gold, an 85-meter steamer that ran between the east coast of the USA and Central America in the 1850s. The ship sank in a hurricane in 1857, killing 425 out of the 578 passengers and crew members. It is estimated that almost 21 tons of gold coins also went down with the ship. The shipwreck was first discovered in 1988. The men's work pants were recovered from a suitcase belonging to a man called John DeMent from Oregon, who may have bought them in San Francisco. The auction officials have claimed that the work pants are very much like the first jeans made by Levi Strauss. However, Levi Strauss historian and company archive director Tracy Panic has ruled this out. Levi Strauss made the first pair of blue jeans in San Francisco in 1873, 16 years after the SS Central America sank. The sale of the miner's work pants comes just 2 months after an unknown buyer bought a vintage pair of Levi's jeans from the 1880s, which were found in an abandoned mine for $76,000 at an auction in New Mexico. A pair of men's work pants that could be the world's oldest pair of jeans have been sold in an auction for $114,000. The white pants were found in a suitcase in a shipwreck off the coast of North Carolina in the USA. The work pants have buttons instead of a zip and probably belonged to a gold miner. They were part of a sale that took place in Reno, Nevada, in the west of the USA. The gold miner was traveling on the SS Central America, also known as the Ship of Gold, an 85-meter steamer that ran between the east coast of the USA and Central America in the 1850s. The ship sank in a hurricane in 1857, killing 425 out of the 578 passengers and crew members. It is estimated that almost 21 tons of gold coins also went down with the ship. The shipwreck was first discovered in 1988. The men's work pants were recovered from a suitcase belonging to a man called John DeMent from Oregon, who may have bought them in San Francisco. The auction officials have claimed that the work pants are very much like the first jeans made by Levi Strauss. However, Levi Strauss historian and company archive director Tracy Panic has ruled this out. Levi Strauss made the first pair of blue jeans in San Francisco in 1873, 16 years after the SS Central America sank. The sale of the miners' work pants comes just 2 months after an unknown buyer bought a vintage pair of Levi's jeans from the 1880s, which were found in an abandoned mine for $76,000 at an auction in New Mexico.
Part 2. In Part 2, a reporter is carrying out a survey. You will hear this twice. Before listening, you will have 40 seconds to read the task. You now have 40 seconds to read the task. You are now going to hear the survey for the first time. After a short break, you will hear the survey again. Survey. Are footballers paid too much?
Good morning. On today's show, we're going to be looking at the question, are footballers paid too much? You too can have your say. Phone us and let us know your opinion. The lines are now open.
My name is Luca. Some footballers are definitely overpaid. Think of the Brazilian Pepito, who signed for Manchester City at the beginning of this season. He has never played a full game of the club. He has only scored 4 goals this season. Of his 32 shots on goal, only 12 were on target. And he gets paid £100,000 a week.
Good morning, Callum here. It is true that footballers earn a lot, but a good player can generate far more value for a club than they are paid in wages. Think of Sandro Tonali, who joined Newcastle United last year. Having superstar players will attract sponsors. The better the players, the bigger the sponsors.
Good morning, I'm Bryony. Do you know that players like Messi and Ronaldo started playing football at the age of 5? So, when other kids were playing with their toys, they were out sweating. When their friends were playing video games, they were out sweating. When teens were busy with their hairstyles and their first girlfriends, they were out sweating. They deserve every penny they get, and probably more.
This is Gary. It's not actually true that footballers earn a lot. Think of it like this. There are 265 million footballers in the world. Of those, only about 2,300 play in the top 5 leagues in Europe. In other words, less than 1% of them make it to these super leagues. I have nothing but respect for any player who has made it to these top 5 leagues. They've earned their salaries.
My name is Finn, hello. You also have to remember that amazing players ensure that you get the results on the pitch. A top 4 finish in the Premier League and a Champions League spot are so important for the big English clubs. You need top quality players to achieve this.
Good morning, my name is James, and I don't think footballers are overpaid. Football stars are simply worth a lot of money. Just think of the shirt sales. When Lionel Messi arrived at the French club Paris Saint-Germain in 2021, the club sold 820,000 football shirts in the first 24 hours. That's amazing.
Hiya, my name is Emma, and personally, I think footballers are overpaid. It doesn't matter how well they play, they still get a huge sum of money at the end of the month. The football world is completely different from the real world. Just look at the cars they drive and the palaces they live in. We have professionals like medical doctors or firefighters who deal with real lives, and they only earn a fraction of what a footballer earns.
Wow. Thank you for phoning in. We will be back after the news. Good morning. On today's show, we're going to be looking at the question, are footballers paid too much? You too can have your say. Phone us and let us know your opinion. The lines are now open.
My name is Luca. Some footballers are definitely overpaid. Think of the Brazilian Pepito, who signed for Manchester City at the beginning of this season. He has never played a full game of the club. He has only scored 4 goals this season. Of his 32 shots on goal, only 12 were on target. And he gets paid £100,000 a week.
Good morning, Callum here. It is true that footballers earn a lot, but a good player can generate far more value for a club than they are paid in wages. Think of Sandro Tonali, who joined Newcastle United last year. Having superstar players will attract sponsors. The better the players, the bigger the sponsors.
Good morning, I'm Bryony. Do you know that players like Messi and Ronaldo started playing football at the age of 5? So, when other kids were playing with their toys, they were out sweating. When their friends were playing video games, they were out sweating. When teens were busy with their hairstyles and their first girlfriends, they were out sweating. They deserve every penny they get, and probably more.
This is Gary. It's not actually true that footballers earn a lot. Think of it like this. There are 265 million footballers in the world. Of those, only about 2,300 play in the top 5 leagues in Europe. In other words, less than 1% of them make it to these super leagues. I have nothing but respect for any player who's made it to these top 5 leagues. They've earned their salaries.
My name is Finn, hello. You also have to remember that amazing players ensure that you get the results on the pitch. A top 4 finish in the Premier League and a Champions League spot are so important for the big English clubs. You need top quality players to achieve this.
Good morning. My name is James, and I don't think footballers are overpaid. Football stars are simply worth a lot of money. Just think of the shirt sales. When Lionel Messi arrived at the French club Paris Saint-Germain in 2021, the club sold 820,000 football shirts in the first 24 hours. That's amazing.
Hiya, my name is Emma, and personally, I think footballers are overpaid. It doesn't matter how well they play, they still get a huge sum of money at the end of the month. The football world is completely different from the real world. Just look at the cars they drive and the palaces they live in. We have professionals like medical doctors or firefighters who deal with real lives, and they only earn a fraction of what a footballer earns.
Wow. Thank you for phoning in. We will be back after the news.
Part 3. In Part 3, you will hear an interview. You will hear the interview twice. Before listening to the interview, you will have 30 seconds to read the task. You now have 30 seconds to read the task. You are now going to hear the interview for the first time. After a short break, you will hear the interview again. Interview: The Tradition of Afternoon Tea.
Good afternoon, listeners. I am sitting in the park room of the Grosvenor House Hotel in London. The time is now 3 o'clock, and it's tea time. Sitting next to me is tea expert Eileen Donaghy. We are going to talk about the tradition of afternoon tea. Welcome to the programme, Eileen.
Thank you.
Tell us, Eileen, how did you become an afternoon tea expert?
It started off as a hobby, really. I used to go and try different locations for afternoon tea, and then I would post reviews of my afternoons on Instagram. But then 2 years ago, I did some qualifications and further research into the history of tea, and now I'm a tea specialist.
Afternoon tea is really important to the Brits, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is a tradition that goes back to the year 1840, and it was introduced by Anna, the wife of the 7th Duke of Bedford.
Could you please tell our listeners what afternoon tea is? I'm not sure everyone knows.
Certainly. Afternoon tea is a meal that is best taken between 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It consists of sandwiches, scones and cakes, and, of course, either a cup or a pot of tea.
What makes afternoon tea special?
Well, it is not something you would do every day, and it's also the atmosphere. It's very relaxed.
Is afternoon tea still popular today?
Yes, very. Most hotels and also high-end department stores offer afternoon tea. Afternoon tea is popular for birthdays or for parties for new babies. Tourists love afternoon tea too.
Where would you take someone for a posh cream tea?
I like this hotel, the Grosvenor House Hotel. It's very traditional, with white tablecloths and smart waiters. There's a piano player here every afternoon. That's lovely.
And how much does afternoon tea cost?
That depends on where you go, of course. At a department store, it will cost around £12. But here, at the Grosvenor, it costs around £70 with a glass of sparkling wine.
What is your favourite sandwich?
I love the coronation chicken sandwiches here. They're so simple, but quite delicious. Here, try this one.
Oh, thank you. And do you have any other advice for our listeners?
There's a dress code for many hotel tea rooms. Women will be expected to wear smart shoes. You can't wear jeans or sportswear. And here at the Grosvenor House Hotel, men must wear a jacket and tie.
Ah, that's good to know. Anything else?
Don't leave your phone on the table. Take your pictures at the start, then sit and enjoy your meal.
Right, Eileen, shall we get started on the scones? We'll be back after the news. Good afternoon, listeners. I am sitting in the park room of the Grosvenor House Hotel in London. The time is now 3 o'clock, and it's tea time. Sitting next to me is tea expert Eileen Donaghy. We are going to talk about the tradition of afternoon tea. Welcome to the programme, Eileen.
Thank you.
Tell us, Eileen, how did you become an afternoon tea expert?
It started off as a hobby, really. I used to go and try different locations for afternoon tea, and then I would post reviews of my afternoons on Instagram. But then 2 years ago, I did some qualifications and further research into the history of tea, and now I'm a tea specialist.
Afternoon tea is really important to the Brits, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is a tradition that goes back to the year 1840, and it was introduced by Anna, the wife of the 7th Duke of Bedford.
Could you please tell our listeners what afternoon tea is? I'm not sure everyone knows.
Certainly. Afternoon tea is a meal that is best taken between 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It consists of sandwiches, scones and cakes, and, of course, either a cup or a pot of tea.
What makes afternoon tea special?
Well, it is not something you would do every day, and it's also the atmosphere. It's very relaxed.
Is afternoon tea still popular today?
Yes, very. Most hotels and also high-end department stores offer afternoon tea. Afternoon tea is popular for birthdays or for parties for new babies. Tourists love afternoon tea too.
Where would you take someone for a posh cream tea?
I like this hotel, the Grosvenor House Hotel. It's very traditional, with white tablecloths and smart waiters. There's a piano player here every afternoon. That's lovely.
And how much does afternoon tea cost?
That depends on where you go, of course. At a department store, it will cost around £12. But here, at the Grosvenor, it costs around £70 with a glass of sparkling wine.
What is your favourite sandwich?
I love the coronation chicken sandwiches here. They're so simple, but quite delicious. Here, try this one.
Oh, thank you. And do you have any other advice for our listeners?
There's a dress code for many hotel tea rooms. Women will be expected to wear smart shoes. You can't wear jeans or sportswear. And here at the Grosvenor House Hotel, men must wear a jacket and tie.
Ah, that's good to know. Anything else?
Don't leave your phone on the table. Take your pictures at the start, then sit and enjoy your meal.
Right, Eileen, shall we get started on the scones? We'll be back after the news.
You may now continue with the rest of the exam. Good luck.